Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Tactical Yanks podcast, your podcast for soccer in America and around the world. I'm your co-host, Pete Douthit, and I am joined by my fellow co-host,
Filippo Silva. And welcome to the Tactical Yanks podcast. Hopefully you enjoy. We'll be talking about U.S. soccer, European soccer, South American soccer, the World Cup, and much more. All right, everyone, welcome back to the Tactical Yanks podcast. I apologize. We did miss the episode last week. Things happened in life and the coverage of both channels were still going on, so we were busy with that as well. But we're back here to do two things today. But before we even start, before we talk about the Nations League and the Gold Cup that starts later this week, over the weekend, I'm your host, Filippo Silva from Tactical Manager TV. I am the co-host, actually, with Pete Douthit here from 11 Yanks. Pete. Now more than ever, we are the kings of CONCACAF. If there was ever any doubt, right?
Yeah, there was no doubt. It was just, you know, can you believe the Canadian national team account put kings of CONCACAF and then 2022? Like they literally, it's one thing for Sid to say it. It's one thing for a few Canadian fans to say it. But for the official Twitter account of the national team to pretend that finishing first in the Ocho made them kings of CONCACAF, it's just so pathetic. Like, it's like that little brother who has nothing, right? But tries to like make up something in order to be relevant. That's what it feels like, Canada.
You know, it's funny about that whole Ocho thing. It's a qualifier, right? It's a qualifier to the World Cup. So it's pretty much a pre-World Cup. You know how the UEFA Champions League has those qualifying phases early on?
Yeah.
It's kind of like as if like Maccabi Haifa won theirs and they're like, we're the Champions League champions until someone actually wins it. We won the Champions League here. It's the World Cup. They just qualified to the World Cup. There's no trophy. They even put CONCACAF champions on their Twitter account, didn't they?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Haven't won a trophy in 23 years. Like, come on. Can you imagine if Brazil or Argentina finished first in CONMEBOL qualifying and then put CONMEBOL champion?
They always finish first and they never care.
No, CONMEBOL champion is the Copa America winner. Everybody knows that.
Yeah,
but,
they don't.
You know,
They're new to it.
It's the new money syndrome for Canada. We're not going to bag on them too much.
No, but they're also new to all of this, dude. They're new.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's the new money thing. It's like, oh, for the first time, you've been relevant, even in your region. Forget international game. You're still not relevant, right? But at least in your region, you're relevant for the first time and you don't know how to act. But it's okay. Honestly, they haven't reached a final in a domestic championship also since 2000. So for Canada, it's actually huge progress to make a final, right? So good for them.
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of progresses in Canadian soccer. They qualified to a World Cup that they hadn't done in forever.
Yeah.
Regardless of how they did in the World Cup, they made it back. They're also making it to a final, and we'll see how they do in the Gold Cup. Their roster was out today, and they're not bringing their best either. But looking at their group in the Gold Cup and looking on how the brackets can go, they can put up a fight to try to fight for it.
Also, the CONCACAF champions are bringing the C team, so that gives both Mexico and Canada some hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Mexico just fired Diego Coca already, the guy last
I know. Too. 6 months later.
No, not six. Was it even? He got like in March, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know the exact. Maybe it was March. But so, okay, 4 months. The point is like 6 months after the World Cup, they've already fired the replacement for Tata Martino. But here's the thing I want to say about that. I don't know who they're going to bring in. Piojo Herrera feels like he might be the guy. Mm-hmm. They'll bring him back, which would be entertaining as hell. I'd love to see that. But Mexico is going to keep blaming managers, and that's not the problem, right? it's maybe a little bit of a problem. You can take issue with some of their tactics or lineups or player selections. Their problem is their player pool. Their player pool is so weak, and it's going to be a problem for them going forward. I can't see it getting better anytime soon, honestly.
Well, and you want proof of that? They got a different coach, right? They got a different coach. The results got even worse. In the United States, whether you like Berhalter or not, doesn't matter. We also had a different coach, and we beat them again. It's crystal clear. Also, go back to the game in the Azteca. We probably should have won that. It was like details. So if we had won that, they would have been... Don't forget, they also, for the first time, let's forget the United States for a second. Let's just look at Mexico's results itself. They didn't qualify for the U-20 World Cup, which they always do well. They didn't qualify to the Olympics, where they get medals. They also, after how many World Cups, like 6, 7 World Cups, they got knocked down the group stage.
Yep.
In a group that I've seen Mexico get out of tougher groups.
Yeah, they had besides that Brazil group in 2014, remember? Yeah. And Croatia.
Yeah, besides Argentina, Poland, and Saudi Arabia, that's not a big deal. Mexico should have. Well, even their group in 2018 for the champions, Germany, was it South Korea and Sweden? That's a tougher group. So
that is a tougher group.
This is probably the lowest I've seen Mexico ever. Maybe the lowest they've ever been in the modern era of soccer. But let's talk about the United States a little bit. We won 2 trophies. I don't want to waste much time talking about Greg Berhalter. I think it's more about celebrating. But I do want to point out one thing here. When Greg won in 2021, of course, it's different teams. The players, we got some players that we didn't have in 2021, some players that Greg also chose to not play. That's a different discussion. But at the same time, right, in 2021, we had to suffer to win that, both games. We barely beat Honduras. It was like a late goal scored by PFOC, a header at the final 5 minutes. And that Mexico game, the 3-2, was in extra time. Mexico missed a penalty kick late in the game. It was insane, crazy. Without forgetting the fact that he subbed in Leggett for Gio Reyna in that game. But
I never let Gio play centrally.
Never. Well, that was for the entire Berhalter era. That's back, Berhalter 2.0.
Yeah.
But adding on more, this time, it didn't feel this way. We felt completely under control of both matches. We got pressed by Canada a little bit in the final 15 minutes of the final, but I mean, that's part of the game. We made the decision to sit back towards the end of the game and hold a 2-0 lead, which towards the end, I'm okay with it. I don't like sitting back, and I thought that we could continue, but again, some guys were gassed out. That's fine. Play it safe. But we always felt under control. And when you go back to the Berhalter era, you only feel the under control part when we're like facing horrible teams. And even with horrible teams, sometimes
it was. I don't think we very rarely looked under control. Very rarely.
Grenada, maybe
like, you know, Jamaica at home, games like that, right? Even the Gold Cup was all these 1-0 wins to the final. And scary 1-0 wins where like Qatar misses a penalty, Matt Turner makes a few saves, and then we find a late goal. It's just, this is what we thought this team could play like for the whole cycle, and we never really saw it. And now as soon as...
One question too, completely, sorry to interrupt that, but it's just so I don't forget, I want to ask you one thing, because I just remembered this. I saw a lot of people trying to credit how we were still playing Berhalter's system, which clearly it wasn't. Like, there's certain aspects of it that are similar, but again, there's similarities among many systems. Like, some people were pointing out that we were trying to play out of the back. That's not just Berhalter, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, stop.
Like, yeah, it's like Berhalter is the only coach in the world that plays out of the back. There's a bunch of most modern coaches try to play out of the back. That's why we overemphasize ball playing defenders. There were, of course, some similarities. You want more similarities? He played with 11 players on the field, just like Berhalter.
Yeah, we tried to score goals.
Let's talk about a few things that were different, right? A few things that were different right away. First thing, Giovanni Reyna playing central. So he put a creator. Berhalter loved soccer terrorism midfield, MMA, which great players, all three of them, not creative. Just Adams, a destroyer, and McKennie and Musa box-to-box midfielders, sometimes destroyers. Gio Reyna there, big difference already. Second thing, instead of prioritizing experience, he went with quality, BJ Callahan, right? Joe Scally. Well, he could have called in DeAndre Yedlin, and he could have just put DeAndre Yedlin. No, he's like, no, Scally's my second best right back. I'm bringing him in and put him in, and Scally held his own just fine, had a great game. Chris Richards also, of course, Berhalter would have starred Richards as well. Another thing, Berhalter's system was always very similar. It was like the fullbacks would push high up the field, provide the width. You congest the midfield right there so Pulisic can't cut inside, doesn't create space for Pulisic. You don't create down the middle. The fullbacks, a little bit in the second half, but for the most part, our fullbacks were sitting deep. They weren't pushing high up the field. And I think that was a big difference maker with Anthony Hudson, big difference maker again with BJ Callahan. Now, did Greg instruct them? Is Greg involved in one shape, way, shape, or form? Is he going to change and adapt? This is how Greg envisions the team now. I don't know. And I also felt like with less instructions, the player were playing a bit more free-flowing and fluid.
Yeah.
We were better in transition. We were fast. When we got the ball, we were fast with it, right? Greg, we weren't under Greg.
Yeah, I think also the other thing, I remember Greg always talking about how important the fullbacks were to his attack, right? And he even called them superheroes once, which just made me cringe inside. Like, what is this? Like, AYSO five-year-olds? Who's the superheroes of the team? We're going to wear capes at the party afterwards. Like, all he wanted was his fullbacks to get up there and cross the ball endlessly. And we crossed the ball more times than any other team in the World Cup except one. Okay, so we were the second most crosses. It was ineffective, easy to defend against, predictable, no penetration through the middle. That was a huge part of Berhalter's system. We didn't see that last night. How many crosses did A-Rob get off? Maybe one. How many did Scally get off? At best, one. Okay. It's not that that's necessarily wrong for a fullback to get in a good position and try a cross, but when that is your primary form of attack, and when it's not that, it's hopefully Pulisic can dribble through everyone and do something. That was Berhalter ball. That was Berhalter ball. Right. And then drawing the little half circle horseshoe from like fullback to midfielder to center back to midfielder to fullback to winger and then back again. That was Berhalter ball. This was not Berhalter ball. This was get the ball and attack them down the, you know, down the flanks, combine through the middle, give it to Gio, hold up play from Balogun. It was completely different than Berhalter ball. So anybody who says this was what Berhalter set up this team to do, I'm sorry, I just don't agree.
Well, it's just a bunch of ignorant takes. They'll see like a 4-3-3 and they're like, oh, 4-3-3, they must be the same. Like every single coach that uses a 4-3-3 uses a Berhalter system. Pep Guardiola will put a 4-3-3, him and Berhalter are all of a sudden equals. Credit to Greg for creating the 4-3-3. Like, that's not how it works.
No.
Hopefully people can be rational about it. But again, it's what we were joking about yesterday. The same way, if we lost to Canada, we were not going to blame Berhalter for this. We're not going to credit Berhalter for this. Berhalter will get blamed and credited for what he's actually involved. And as far as we know, he's not involved. That's what I was saying. What I do hope is that the lineups we saw, the setups we saw, that Berhalter, maybe because our federation's so shady, he was already involved in one way, shape, or form. And if he was involved, that means this is how he envisions the team now, right? Yeah. That's what I'm hoping for. Because I enjoyed what I saw. I think most fans did. And we won the Nations League with a lot of ease. We dominated Mexico. We dominated Canada. And just before we move on to the Gold Cup, I do want to say we were missing, at least for the final specifically, right? We were missing Tyler Adams, Wes McKennie, Serginho Dest, Tim Ream, Cameron Carter-Vickers, and Miles Robinson. These are six players that all six could be starters, or they're like right there, first one off the bench. And we still won. While Canada, on the other hand, were they missing anyone? I don't think they were.
No, they weren't. That was a full team.
And Mexico was missing Chucky Lozano, essentially. I guess you could say Tecatito, but I don't think he's as crucial. It's just pretty much Lozano was the big miss. One player. One player. That's it.
So yeah, I think Tecatito is fair. But still, that's just two players, right? And that's Mexico's problem, is a lack of depth. That's why depth matters. That's why the full roster matters, because when players get injured or banned, you need other guys to step up, and that's where having the quality and depth matters. But I also want to say one more thing. Giovanni Reyna having a statement game in this Nations League final, playing in the middle, is going to be it's going to make it very difficult for Greg to either bench him or put him on the wings again. Because if you put him on the wing, who are you benching? Weah, who also had a very good Nations League, right? If Greg does that, either of those, he's going to get major backlash, and he's going to deserve every bit of it, because it'll be a return to the same old bullshit that we saw from him before. But Gio Reyna now has four goal contributions in two finals against the two best teams not named the USMNT in CONCACAF, Canada and Mexico. If anybody is still doubting the importance of Gio Reyna to this team, stop. Right. If you still think he's a whiny brat, or you don't think, you know, what his parents did was right, so he shouldn't be on the team, then you're not a fan of this team. You are a hater now, okay? Because Gio has showed once again how important he is to this team. Even against Mexico, he didn't get goals or assists, but he was very crucial to the free-flowing attacking soccer we were playing, in the build-out, through midfield, taking set pieces as well. That's another thing. Pulisic shouldn't be on set pieces anymore. It was just a statement game from Gio Reyna. And I'm so happy that a lot of people are now seeing what we've been saying for the last 2.5 years.
Yeah, and a lot of it could have been avoided if Greg just played him more often throughout the cycle. I know sometimes there was a good amount of time that he was injured, but when he wasn't, he was always just shoved down the wing. And the thing with Gio's, nowadays at least, the way I see it, if I was playing any formation that has wingers, you do need some explosiveness to be a winger. That has to be one of your traits nowadays. Gio Reyna is not slow by any means, but he's not an explosive player, right? He's not a guy that gets the ball and blows by you down the flank. That's not his game. He's more of a midfielder. That's the way I've always
languid. He can blow by you, but he does it with a very long stride, and it's usually on the turn, right? Like, do you remember that sequence in midfield where he got the ball from Scatting?
Osorio. And Osorio just, like, couldn't catch him, yeah.
Osorio couldn't catch him. He beat two players, drew Osorio back, and then just turned Osorio. He's got such a fine turning radius, too. It's like that car that you turn it all the way and you can do a U-turn on like a side street. That's what Gio is. And then once he turns, he explodes into space. Now, it's not explosive with speed, you know, with like, oh my God, it's just like Pulisic level. It's a long, languid stride, but he still explodes past you. And then he still managed to find Tim Weah down the right. So, yeah, there's no question anymore. Gio is our 10. That front four of Balogun, Pulisic, Weah, and Gio is going to be amazing to watch over the next 3 years. If we let them cook.
Yeah, if they're allowed to play, of course. Not comparing the two players, but it's kind of like how Kaká used to play too. Kaká was like the long legs, always like very fast with the ball, good on the turn. Gio has a lot of promise here. And I saw the rumors that Dortmund might want to sell him. I don't know if I believe it though. But
well,
anyhow.
Some people are saying it's not true. 20 million would be a big surprise because that is a steal for Gio Reyna. So,
but anyhow, let's move on to the Gold Cup, right? Let's go to the Gold. Before we go to the Gold Cup, a quick word from our sponsor, DraftKings, the sponsor of the podcast, and we'll go on by saying, light the lamp during the hockey playoffs with DraftKings Sportsbook. New customers can make a $5 bet and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code THPN. That's the code THPN. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook. So you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER in Massachusetts. Call 800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelpline.org in New York. You can also call 87-8-HOPE-HOPE New York, so H-O-P-E-N-Y, or text H-O-P-E-N-Y, which is just 467-369. In Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resorts KS, you must be 21 years older or eligible to play. So once again, thank you DraftKings for sponsoring the podcast and use the code THPN only on DraftKings Sportsbook. Moving on, Pete, moving on, the Gold Cup. We're placed in Group A. I'm going to be facing Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago, because Nicaragua was kicked out for playing an ineligible player. And then lastly, we are going to be playing a team that's going to come out of the preliminaries. It might be Curaçao. We can just assume it's Curaçao right now. We're going to know this on Tuesday. Regardless of the teams and the roster we brought, this is a group we should absolutely get out of. The Gold Cup is extremely weak. Mexico are not sending their best. Canada's not sending their best. We're not sending our best. Jamaica, we don't know.
Well, they might send their best, but their main players aren't with the team yet. And the game is on Saturday. So even if they're there, it's just so dysfunctional with Jamaica. They'll get results here and there, but it's hard to see them being a consistent threat with the level of dysfunction in that federation and that roster. And a lot of the players don't like each other. We've heard this from JD, you know, the European and the Jamaican players, there's some friction. And, you know, I mean, I'm glad they got a foreign coach. They got that Icelandic coach, Heidelson, I believe his name is. Mm-hmm. I hope he can reunite that team because a strong Jamaica is good for CONCACAF. But as of right now, it's really hard to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... Jamaica's one of those that on paper, yep, they're fine, good players, but they self-implode. The joke that anyone that we talked about yesterday, how they're Voltorb in Pokemon. They just use self-destruct every time they can. But going through this group, I think I'm not going to go through much of predictions or anything, brackets and everything. We talked about it. You finished top two of your group. You advanced the quarterfinals and semifinals and final. We're the current champions. We won last time with a BC roster. We're sending once again roughly a BC roster, more of a C roster. But let's talk about maybe the roster real quick before we close this podcast. Just go through the names. You want to bring up the names? You have them there?
I've got them in my head. So the goalkeepers, you've got Matt Turner, Sean Johnson, and Gabriel Slanina. Now, for me, it's just Matt Turner as the number one, which I'm totally fine with. The guy has not played enough with Arsenal. You're seeing it in his game. He's become a little bit shakier than normal, particularly on the ball. Mm-hmm. And I think giving him the Gold Cup to play 6-7 games will not only be good for his confidence and his, you know, minutes needed, but hopefully also showcase a little bit what he can do, because I really don't want him staying with Arsenal another season. Like, another season on the bench. Sure, he's made some progress with his feet. We've seen that at Arsenal. I'm very concerned about the lack of game time and what that's doing to his confidence. And I think he needs to be playing week in, week out. So even if it's a loan or a sale, even if it's a championship club, I think that's below his level personally. But I'd rather he play every week in the championship than sit on the bench at Arsenal. But I think a lower Premier League team or a Bundesliga team could take a very interesting gamble on Matt Turner. Maybe a loan with an option to buy, right? So you loan him out for this year, and then next summer, you know, 10 million or 5 million, whatever it is. But I'm hoping he has a really good Gold Cup, which he might, because we have Aaron Long in that roster. He's probably going to start every game, so I think he's going to be busy at times.
He was in the last Gold Cup, remember? He was our best player in the last Gold Cup.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, without him, we wouldn't have won. So Matt Turner, the other ones are Slonina and Sean Johnson, correct?
Yeah,
the other
two goalkeepers. Sean Johnson will probably be the number two.
Yeah, hopefully neither of them have to play. Sean Johnson, because he's just not very good, and Slonina, because not ready. Not ready yet, but good experience for Slonina. Defenders, the center backs are Long, right? Which no one knows why he's there anymore. I've asked this many times. I think the CIA and the FBI should look into it. There's something going
on. I've been told that he's a cultural fit on Twitter. And I almost threw a cultural fit hearing that.
that's probably even a bigger reason for the FBI and the CIA to look into it, because that doesn't make any sense. And then you have Jalen Neal, promising center back for the Galaxy. Be nice if he gets minutes here. Obviously not ready, but getting ready, getting better, playing for the Galaxy. Good on the ball. Miles Robinson, that we don't know the injury situation, because he didn't play in the final because he was allegedly injured.
But he was on the bench.
Yeah, so we'll see. Maybe Miles will be for the Gold Cup. And then the other center back, who is it again?
Miazga.
Matt Miazga. So a bit of a shaky back line, right?
Yeah, I mean, if it's Miles Robinson plus one, like I would probably start Jamaica off with Robinson and Miazga. Now, Miazga, I'm still not so sure about, but the alternatives are Aaron Long. No, thank you. Jalen Neal. Good option, still very young, and Jamaica is a very physical team. I think physicality is something Jalen is still working on. So I probably wouldn't start him against Jamaica, but I might give him Trinidad and Tobago next to Miles Robinson because I think he can have. I mean, he's showing fine.
They're also very physical, though, Trinidad, right?
They are, but there's less quality. So I back him more against Trinidad and Tobago, or maybe against the third team and see how he does. Maybe it's a matter of like gently easing him in. But Jalen Neal didn't get that under 20 spot when he's our best under 20 center back, in my opinion. And what's really good about Jalen is his passing range. It's even better than Miles Robinson. He can take space on the dribble. He can pass into midfield. He can make line breaking passes. I honestly wouldn't mind just sticking him next to Miles Robinson for this Gold Cup, maybe after Jamaica. And even if he makes a mistake or two, that's okay. We're preparing also not just for Copa America next year. We're preparing for the Olympics. And Jalen Neal could be a starting center back in those Olympics. So this is a good time to integrate him.
And who are the fullbacks that we brought?
So right fullbacks are Brian Reynolds and DeAndre Yedlin. Left fullbacks are John Tolkien and Dewan Jones.
The fullbacks are not a problem in this roster then?
Not so much.
No, I think for a C roster, Dewan Jones and Tolkien are just fine for left back. Probably the best we have for that roster. And the Yedlin and Reynolds, you get an experienced guy and a much younger guy. It's going to be more about who we give minutes, right? You want to give more minutes to Brian Reynolds, get him going, give him experience, get him involved. But I'm fine with having both of those. And for the Gold Cup level, even Yedlin, that I'm not the biggest fan, he would work just fine, right? In regards to the other ones.
But again, if we're trying to prepare for Copa America, for Olympics, Brian Reynolds is Olympic eligible. So give him.
It's about getting something out of this, right? This tournament, getting something out of it.
Right.
Midfielders. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going to try to name them all. You remind me. So Aiden Morris, Christian Roldan, Alan Soñora, Jordi Mihailovic, James Sands. Is there one more?
I think that's it.
Yeah, I think that's it. That's pretty much
that's
it.
Oh, no, Busio.
Busio made it, so six.
Yeah.
Very weird midfield. Maybe Mihailovic and Alan are the only ones that can create something, get assists, create goal-scoring opportunities. The sixes are probably going to be Aiden Morris or Sands.
Yeah.
Busio, I'm not sure where he's going to play. I don't know
I think
how he's
Busio
playing.
And Roldan are the eights. If you're going with six, eights, tens, you know, then you've got the two creative midfielders, two box-to-box, and then two defensive.
Makes sense. So the midfield is a problem right here, right?
Yeah, midfield is a problem. It's not as much a problem if you look. So either Sands or Morris at the six. I don't think either of them has a super high ceiling, but I'd rather see one of them than Acosta, honestly. Like, at least they are auditioning. You know, Aiden Morris is Olympic eligible. So again, I'd probably rather play Morris at the six. I think they're similar players, to be honest. Good passing range, but very slow. Then what I would do with that is I would just play two attacking midfielders. I would play Alan Soñora and Jordi Mihailovic to help us create, because we're going to need all the creativity we can get. We're not going to get it from the forwards, you know. So I would just play with 1-6 and two attacking 8/10s. But that's probably not what we're going to see. We're probably going to see Roldan in there with Mihailovic.
Let's be hopeful. It's still BJ Callahan. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, let's see.
He did play Musa with Aronson and Reyna, even though Aronson was very much more in defensive duty. He still did it. Then the forwards we have, and again, you're going to help me here.
Kate Cal.
Jordan Moritz.
Yeah.
Julian Gressel. I don't know.
Absurd pick. Absurd.
I don't know how he made it there. I guess the funny part is when you mentioned that, people were like, he's a good crosser. Yeah, a lot of players are. That alone doesn't get you to the national team. Let me see if I did.
Well, Jesus. Also, if you're just a good crosser, but you have no other skills, all an opponent has to do is get tight to you, so you can't get a cross off because he can't dribble. He's very slow defensively, not good in combination. He's a 30-year-old guy who couldn't make it in Germany and made himself a nice little MLS career, and he keeps getting traded down. Right, he went from Atlanta to DC, and then from DC down to Vancouver, one of the worst teams. So I just don't understand it. But, you know, I'm sure your buddy Manuel Veth will love it. I don't know what he's doing on this roster. It's up there with Long for me. With Long.
Maybe they're just setting the stage. It's just like they're showing these other dual nationals like Luciano Acosta, right? Luciano Acosta. That's like, hey, see, if you become American, we're calling you up no matter what.
Yeah, exactly.
As long as you're here in the league. But Julian Gressel makes it. Jesus up top, obviously. Brendan Vasquez. And that's it.
You forgot the most important one. Alejandro Zendejas.
Oh, how did I forget him? Yes, our best winger in this roster, Alex Zendejas. This is probably the tournament for Zendejas to step it up. He'll get a lot of minutes, I would hope, right? And this is where he can really stand out. Because, for example, Nations League got 0 minutes, rightfully so, because we have our best players there. Yeah. Now, he's our best forward. He's going to have to be our go-to guy up top and one of the best players in the tournament. So it's a big one for Alejandro Zendejas. But one thing we do have to say is I'm looking forward to the Gold Cup. It's still our national team playing. I think it is important for us to win and continue our dominance in CONCACAF, continue to establish ourselves more and more, show that we have all this depth, right, that we can send a C roster and win a trophy. But it is a Gold Cup roster that when you look into it, because what you want to do the Gold Cup, along with winning a trophy, is like, okay, what can we build upon this? And when you go back to the 2021 Gold Cup, we barely built upon anything. Besides Turner and Robinson, everything else was mostly useless, right?
Yeah. If anything, it actually hurt us because Acosta. It made Greg believe that all these guys are contributors. Areola, Acosta, Morris wasn't there because he was injured, but you know, Zimmerman, who else up top? Zardes, remember? Zardes went and started against Canada in World Cup qualifying. Like, there's so many guys from that actually made Greg believe they were good players, but they really weren't. Bello, Vines.
So going to that, but let's go to this roster. There's not much that we can gain from this as well. I think one thing we can gain in the future, maybe Jalen Neal gaining some valuable experience. That's something that can build upon for us in the future. I don't believe much in like Aiden Morris, James Sands for the A squad. maybe Mihailovic, maybe, right? We'll have to see how he develops.
Yeah, I think it's about doing two things. It's about preparing some kids to go play in the Olympics. So that's your Reynolds, your Neal, your Cowell, maybe Aiden Morris as a depth piece in the Olympics, right? Guys like that, those four. Slonina is not going to play, but you know what I mean. And then you talk about some guys that are just continuing to stamp their ability to be depth for the big team. So Georgi Mihailovic, Alejandro Zendejas, mainly those two. Miles Robinson is good to see. Turner gets minutes. Tolkien is another one that could be in the Olympics. So if it's really just about that, preparing some guys for the Olympics, integrating them sooner, and then getting some of our depth pieces good minutes to show what they can do, then I'm fine with that. But the problem is, it depends who we line up out there, right? I could see a world where Julian Gressel starts on the right.
Aaron Long
Edlin plays right back. Aaron Long partners Miles Robinson. You know, Jordan Morris plays every minute. Jesus Ferreira, no matter how he plays, gets all the minutes. Like,
let's talk about that, Pete. Nightmare lineup. Build your nightmare lineup.
My nightmare lineup would be Sean Johnson in goal, DeAndre Yedlin at right back, DeJuan Jones at left back. Not a nightmare, but in my opinion, Tolkien is younger and Olympic eligible, so I'd rather see him more. Aaron Long together with Matt Miazga, probably, in center back. Defense, the six, James Sands, Rodon and Busio as the two other midfielders, Morris on the left, Gressel on the right, and Jesus up top. That's my nightmare. God.
If DJ Callahan puts that, we should arrest him as soon as he's coming out of the stadium. God. Oh my goodness.
But conversely, here's a very positive lineup. Turner in goal, Reynolds at right back, Tolkien at left back, Neal and Robinson at center back, Morris at the six, Señora and Mihailovic as attacking midfielders, Zendejas on the right, Morris and Cowell switching off on the wing, depending on who's playing better. I'd give the edge to Cowell just because the experience is good. And then Vasquez up top. It's still not perfect, but I can live with that.
Mm-hmm.
So it really just depends what BJ does.
Yeah. And we're not saying Vasquez is better than Jesus. It's just that he's had less opportunities. So it'll be fair for him to get a few more than Jesus that we've seen enough at this point. But Pete, anything else you want to add before we go?
No, that's it. I mean, it's still a more exciting Gold Cup roster than the 2021. I'll say that. And again, if BJ can let the boys play, I think we'll have an easier time. I think he just gives them the freedom to be able to play their game without too much of a very intense system. I don't want to 1-0 our way to this Gold Cup. My question is, where are the goals going to come from? I think Mihailovic and Zendejas are going to have to be quite key, because I can't see, against the minnows, like if we play a minnow in the group stage, I can see maybe Ferreira bagging some goals and then people pretending like he's a viable option for the national team. But I think we're going to be heavily reliant. Even Morris can score goals at Gold Cup level, right? We're going to have to rely very much on Morris, Zendejas, and Mihailovic. Maybe Señora as a creative force, but strikers still worries me.
Yeah, I think besides Gressel and Long, every single player in this roster is about the level of the Gold Cup, about the level, besides those two, right?
Yeah.
But everyone, we're going to obviously continue to do the full coverage of the Gold Cup on the YouTube channels. On this podcast, we'll be covering it maybe every week or bi-weekly, maybe every stage. We'll go through it. But drop a review before we go. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye. Enjoy. We'll see you guys on United States and Jamaica this Saturday. Bye.